Every one of you, hallelujah. But you can open up. Oh, wait a minute.
That's okay.
You know what?
No.
We're going to do a decree at the end of the service, okay? And because she's going to be put on the spot. And we're going to see if she lines up with what would happen. How's that?
Next week.
Huh?
Next week.
No.
I'll do it next week.
No. Yeah. No. No. I'm the pastor, no longer your brother-in-law or your cousin, really your nearby cousin. I am now the pastor speaking. Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. I think I got two seniors that'll override you. See, they have the final authority. I'll take it to the senior council members right there. I go to Chet and to Mel. And if they give you a pass, that's something different. But you know, they're not. Look at it. Look, see that? They're agreeing with me. Okay. Hallelujah. Everybody, somebody, whoever gets this recording going to say, what are them people doing? Hallelujah. But you know, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Okay. 16 and 17 we're going to look at. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through the Holy Spirit, God revealed his person and plan to certain believers who wrote down his message for we, his people. Did you catch that? We, his people. Almost like we, the people?
Yeah.
Okay. This process is known as inspiration. The different writers wrote from their personal, historical, and cultural texts. Although they used their own minds, talents, language, and style, they wrote what God wanted them to write.
Amen.
Given by inspiration is literally God-breathed. So we are taught here that God was actively involved in the revelation of his truth to the apostles and prophets who wrote it down. See, they wrote it down. No matter the writers, the author is God himself. Always remember that. This is God's word. God's word teaches us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and teaches us what to do that is right. God uses it to prepare and equip we, his people. But let me point out there in that scripture that instruction here, where it goes up there, it says for instruction in righteousness. Well, instruction here refers to the process of training a child. And that training is not just for our children, but it's for all God's children. You and I are God's children. We are King's kids. What are we?
King's
kids. But see, we will be using this as instruction to the day we go home. And that's going to be a long, long time. Do you hear all that, you patriarchs? God promised 120. And you got to claim it. That's when you say amen. And he said, I'm going to give you a life worth living. He says, I will show you my salvation That's welfare, that's healing, that's wholeness, that's completeness. Yeah, I'll look it up. That's more than what you think it is. It ain't just getting you saved. There was a process in doing that, but that's for your welfare. That's for you guys to have a long life. Whatever might try to come upon you, you say, you can't come upon me, because that's not what the Word of God promised me. I know what it says at the end of Psalm 91. And that's what you speak when your body speaks to you. I don't care what your age is. You speak to your body. It has to listen. You call it to line up with God's Word. Call it to attention. If it's not listening, maybe give it a couple scuffs.
That's right.
You know, you got to awaken that spirit that's in you. That spirit is full of power. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to get past the first page. We must be in God's Word daily. Reading it with our eyes and hearing it with our ears. Feeding it into our hearts. As we've seen and heard, 7 days without the Word makes one weak. So it's the Word we're talking about. The Word, the Word, the Word. See, these times that we are in, we are entering into, the important thing is for us to maintain our word level. It's very critical right now that we do that. You can't be without the Word in the times that we were in. Because the times that we were in, it's the atmosphere is full of full of demons. Full of spirits, evil spirits out there. Satan is not happy. So he's coming out. And he can hit us hard. That's why we need the word level. It's very, very important. Get that word level up. Critical, you stay in the Word. No matter what's happening, you got to stay in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word illuminates our eyes of understanding to lead us and guide us through our life, especially in the dark times that we find ourselves in right now. See, it's His Word is the only thing that brings light to us. Because we don't want to let the darkness try to come in and overtake us. We got to get His Word illuminated. It dispels that darkness. His Word is the one thing we can go to that is settled, established, and it is eternal. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. That's a long forever. It just rings. But you know, the next verse isn't too bad. It says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. Man, that should be exciting. No matter where some of our kids may drift off to, they're not prodigals. Well, they're coming back. Because no matter how much they can be unfaithful at this time, God is faithful to them generations. They've been raised up in a way that they should go. He isn't letting go of one of them. No. Just like I told Dean, it's like a rabbit when it takes off and you got a hound dog chasing it. Because I hunted. That rabbit will take off, run as far as it can from you. See? So them rabbits are like our kids. The kids that are prodigals, they're running. And they're standing. And God's standing there. And that takes off. He's not letting them go. He sends that hound out there. And you hear, and you hear it, you can barely hear it. And it chased that rabbit up and over the side of the hill. And you can barely hear it, and all of a sudden you hear, and next thing you know, here it comes, and you hear the sound, but then watch down, because you know what's coming back? There's that rabbit standing right in front of you. The prodigals are coming home. God not letting go to prodigals. Don't you ever let your faith drop in praying for your children if they've gone, or any of the prodigals that have gone. Hallelujah. Now, you establish the earth, and it abides, it says. And they continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. The universe serves God. He placed everything out there in specific order. The earth is positioned where it's at. It stays. It obeys him. It's in perfect order, perfect rotation. It doesn't go off. It's not going to fall off its axis. It's not. All the other planets are lined up. They're all aligned. And everybody, well, look at the alignment. Well, this is, yeah, well, God speaks you through that alignment. But they're in the positions he put them in. They're still there. They're not dropping, getting any closer. That it's all been in sequence. They all obey him. They serve him. There's a purpose for everything out there in the universe. There's a purpose what he established this earth for. We, his people. Isaiah chapter 40. Okay? Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. It stands forever. Hallelujah. You know, I wasn't, but I'm going to go ahead, because maybe it needs a little intro into that. Because if you look at verse 6 there, it says, the voice said, cry out. Yeah. Now, just so you understand, Isaiah is hearing from God. He's speaking to him. So he's the voice. And he said, Isaiah speaking, what shall I cry? And this is what he told him to cry. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. Now verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. People is going to be passing, and they're not going to be here. They're going to be fading away. Things that you see are changing every day. Just as like you see out here, the houses that were out here on our broadhead, you saw that. Boy, that's making some major changes. It's gone. It was like it was there one day, now it's gone. So these are things that are fading out. None of that stuff is going to last. But God's word will. That's the point. God's word will. Okay? God's word stands forever. Amen. These words here in that scripture, okay, in Isaiah 40, they offer us full assurance of the reliability, stability, and eternal nature of the divine word. Jesus fulfills the word, is the word, and lives forever. Yes. He is divine, and we is die branches. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Make sure, because sometimes you get pruned back and you want to know what's happening.
Come on. Yeah, well.
That pruning so you can grow and mature. Hope you don't get cut off of the vine. That's not a place to be in. Hallelujah. Okay, back to God's word. In Isaiah 55, okay, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. I know you all think, boy, he's using a lot of these same scriptures on and off. But you know what? It's because repetition is very helpful to us. Very. Okay. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You gotta just let that sink in for a minute. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That means it's not going to empty without fruit. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Every word we see in the Bible is still as faith-filled as when God spoke it. So it's there. It's not dwindled in anything. His words are alive today, just as they were the day that the Holy Spirit revealed them to you and me, into our hearts. When God's faith-filled words are poured into us, see, they activate faith. They activate the faith in us. Because we all have that measure of faith. And you want to get it stirred up and get it going? You get in the Word of God. Word of God will take those coals and shake them up. And add to it, next thing you know, you got an inferno going again. You remember them days? You could run through a wall. Whew. So every time I start to get a little bit low, I got to pump it up a little bit. You got to pump it up. Pump it up with the word. Hallelujah. See, they enable us to release the power of God's word through our own words. Say, that's us. We are, he spoke through prophets. Now he's speaking to you and to me. And he says, speak my words out of your mouth. They will work for you. That's why he gave us this examples here. And what are we to do? We're supposed to put the law of faith into motion. And how do we do that? By opening our mouths. Because what is the law of faith? It is Mark 11:23. And you got to take it because this come right from the man, Jesus. He said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That is the law of faith. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What you gotta say. There's no doubt in your heart. You gotta believe it when you say it. See, like as I said on Sunday, see, there is no law that can stand against the law of faith. The devil himself can't keep it from working. See, we proved that out when we were born again. If the devil could stop faith in the Word from working in our lives, he would have done it right then. But see, he couldn't. He could not at all do anything with it. We believed God's word about Jesus. Yes, Jesus in our heart. And we confessed with our mouth. And we became new creations in Christ Jesus. The devil was totally helpless and could not do anything about it because God's words on the lips of a believer always, you hear that word? Always prevails. Always prevails. Did you know that we can have full confidence in God and believe His word? We never have to be afraid. Throughout His word, we are told, do not be afraid, or fear not, many, many times. See, God loves us, and His heart's desire is that we love Him and allow Him to move into our lives and fill us with His confidence. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
You got that right, everything. In His word, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. That's 1 John 4:18. The world we live in is encompassed about with a disease. It's called fear. Satan uses fear to either neutralize us or get us off course. And the purpose is to disarm us of power we need to live out God's best plan for our lives. Fear is a disease that steals peace, kills joy, and destroys our mental ability to make correct decisions. It takes a sharp person and makes them unable to think with spiritual clarity or walk in truth. Fear makes an individual look more at what Satan is saying and doing rather than what God already has done and will continue to do. Fear can kill our belief in God and His Word. But we're not going to let that happen. Mm-mm. So when Satan comes at you with lies, trying to intimidate you and to hit you with fear, you got to answer him back with God's word. And what did it say in Scripture? God has not given, say this, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, that is. We see this principle demonstrated by Jesus in His earthly ministry. He stood fearlessly face to face with Satan and with all the demonic powers. And He stood against them by speaking God's word. He demonstrated it. He said, it is written, and overcame every temptation. Every temptation. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start reading verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God," right there, he's questioning him. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." Command that these stones become bread, he says. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And where was he quoting that from? Deuteronomy 8:3. You can check it out. Jesus knew to quote the word.
Yeah.
Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, here it is again, "If you are the Son of God," trying to get him to doubt. You know, Satan, he did not know what he was going up against, did he? He said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and," you hear that, and then it says, "in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." He couldn't even quote it right. We said every day, "For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone." Satan couldn't even quote the word right, and he did it on purpose to try and trip up the man. Now, the Pharisees tried when he was only 12 years old. They asked him so many questions, and as a child, he answered every question. Now, he blew their minds. I can say it about them. Hallelujah. But here he is. And he knows he is the Son of God. Amen. And Satan keeps asking that question. He knows who he is. He knows who his daddy is. Do you know who your Abba Father is? Daddy. He wants to hear from you. Wants to talk to you. Okay, verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, verse 8. The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, very loudly, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Hallelujah. That's who we worship. That's who we bow to. And we know that every knee and every tongue will confess and bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. That day is coming, and that day is coming quicker than what we all think. So it's the word. Jesus used the word. And then what? And then the devil left him. Left him. And when he left him, guess what came in? The angels came and ministered to him. Yeah, they ministered to him. They set him right back up, right where he was at. Brushed off the dust, got him something good to eat.
Yeah.
Probably didn't give him a whole bunch to eat because you cut him off that fast, slow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus, He cast out spirits with the word. Chapter 8, verse 16. Okay. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a club. No.
No.
With the word. With the word. I like that. With the word. But I like what it says. Tim says right after this. And healed all who were sick. Took care of the demons, and now he brought healing to them. He cast out the spirits with a word. Faith-filled words now. There's a key. Faith-filled words. He operated just like his daddy did. And the first apostles, they operated the same way. They took the words of Jesus that he spoke to them before he ascended back into heaven. They believed them and they acted on them. In Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 here, everyone. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs will follow those who believe. Say, I believe. Okay, then this goes on. In my name, they will cast out demons. You fall into that. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's his signature right there. Boom. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Now, this is just the weeks after Jesus ascended. And here's what happened with Peter. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John, verse 1. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour. What time is that? Does anybody know? Yeah, you got it. Amen. Yeah, well-educated group here. Huh? And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Can you imagine being laid there all the time and asking, alms for the lame, alms for the lame, alms for the lame. What's he confessing? Mm-hmm. He's probably been so tired of it, but he's just been saying it. And he's been looking. He's been looking for hope. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, what did he do?
Said.
He said, look at us. He wants his full attention. Look at us. So he gave them his attention. I believe he had his full, they had his full attention. Yes. Expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up and walk. In that situation, just think about it. Peter only had the first few articles of the new covenant to rely on. Yet, with just one promise from Jesus on his lips, "In my name, you will," God's word prevailed. God's word prevailed. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood. Leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He was praising God. Now, when I thought of that, this is what I got. And I'm going to give it to you. Praise is the waters our enemies drowned in. Back then, Peter and the other apostles didn't have a complete written copy of the new covenant. They couldn't open up the Bible and read what God said in later years through the apostle Paul. Yet they took the word of God they had, declared it by faith, and in Acts 17:6 it says, they turned the world upside down. That's what it says right there. They turned the world upside down. If they could do that, think what we can do. Come on. See, we have the same God as our Father. We're filled with the very same Holy Spirit with dunamis power. We have written down for us what God said through the prophets, through Jesus, through the apostles, to the church. Who is the church? We are. They were written down for us. God breathed words for us. God breathed words for us. Because when he breathed into the nostrils, we had life. So there's life in the word. There's life in the word. Much blood was shed so that the copy of those words could get to us. Think about that. Now, that's God's word, but you think about this country, too. Much blood was shed for our freedom. For our freedoms. Our freedom of speech. Our right to bear arms. Our freedom to worship. And when it comes to separation of church and state, there's a meathead out there that says it's three times there, and it's written down. It's not. I don't know. That's why he was a meathead. If you know who I'm talking about, man made a documentary. It's going to go out, and it's going to be a lot of people that are going to go watch it, and they're going to get brainwashed. They're not going to take the time to research it out and find out that he's wrong. It's nowhere in there. Nowhere in the Constitution. Nowhere. That's why he's a meathead. But yet, people go out and watch it, and they're just going to go along with the flow and what he says. We got to pray that the eyes of people's understandings are enlightened through the Word of God. And they know that he's wrong and they don't go see it. I'm not going to go see it. I refuse to go see something from an imbecile like that. Hallelujah. Even if you said, well, you need to know what it's about. No, I already know what it's about. It's about propaganda. It's what it is. Trying to take away what this country was founded on. We have freedoms. then the government needs to hear more from the church. I'm talking the ecclesia, the one that's awakened. There are some that confess to be the church, but they are not the church. Hallelujah.
What you look at matters.
Amen. And when we speak them, I'm talking about the word, decree them, declare them by faith. Holy Spirit takes those faith-filled words and does with them what he has always done with God's word. He puts them into action. Remember, he was hovering when he said, "Let there be light." How fast he traveled? 186,000 miles per second. Yeah, I got to stand corrected. Charles told me that one. He just said miles per hour. Oh, no, it's per second. Miles per second. And it's still expanding. That's why they keep trying to get more and more telescopes to keep looking. They're never going to be able to catch up with God. Never. Never. Hallelujah. See, and that's the way the word can work for us. The same way. We are made in his image. We're supposed to act like the Father and to believe like the Father. That's why he gave us the faith, his faith that is in us. That same faith is in us. The same faith that created this earth, the same faith that calls things that be not as though they were, is inside of each and every one of us. Jesus, hallelujah. God's word is forever settled in heaven. God's word is alive and full of power, active, operative, energized, and effective. That's how the Amplified Bible describes it. That's in Hebrews 4:12 if you want to look that up. Now in John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, yes, sounds right. Oh, yeah. Well, now listen to this in the New Living Translation. "But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything, anything you want, and it will be granted to you." Thus depends on how you want to look at it when you look it up in the Greek here and break it down. Same words mean the same thing, but it seems to open it up a little bit more for you. Anything, anything. That's what he says. Anything. You just got to believe. Here's a key thing: believe. We have the power in our mouth, so the devil doesn't stand a chance against us. The word of faith on our lips will prevail in prayer. It will prevail against the powers of darkness. In Ephesians 6:12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." God's word will prevail against the powers of darkness. He's letting us know where the battle is. And he says, here's what you can beat it with. The word will prevail against those powers of darkness. It will prevail over anything in the world that comes against us. First John 5:4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Amen. All right, Dad, I got the signal. All right. So, Tribe, come on up. We'll give them